All of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. If you got your Bibles this morning, Ephesians chapter 6, and when you find your place, if you're physically able, I'd ask you to stand. I'm going to read one verse and then give you what the Lord's laid upon our heart for this morning. It's always a blessing to be here at Waleska First Baptist. We have actually been here before, and came out for the Fall Festival, which was a great time, and the Lord let us preach here. I believe it was back during the month of September, and we want to thank you for always making our family feel welcome. If you found your place in Ephesians chapter 6, I want to read one verse here in verse number 18, and then we'll give you the thought that the Lord's laid upon our heart for this morning. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I'm going to read that again. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you this morning, Lord, we want to thank you, God, for your love, your grace, and your mercy. Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for the songs of Zion that's been sung this morning, God, about that precious birth, Lord, of that Savior, Lord, that gives us all hope for an eternal glory. Lord, we ask now that you touch the message, Lord, as we preach, God. We don't say anything more, anything less than what you want said this morning, God. And I pray most of all, Lord, if there's one amongst us, Lord, that don't know you in the free pardon of sin, today would be the day of salvation. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings. We ask you watch over us, lead, guide, guard, and protect us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. As I was studying some this week, I really, in my heart, wanted to come preach a Christmas message, just being the time of the year it is and all that. And so went and looked over in Luke chapter 2 and through the several of the other Gospels and some other scripture there in your Bible. And the Lord just would not give me any liberty to preach anything like that. But everything I kept going back to and was on prayer. And so it doesn't take, I'm not a very educated man, but it doesn't take me very long to figure out when God's doing something, that's the way He wants us to go. And before we get started this morning, I want to ask you something. Have you ever been in a place in your physical life where you just didn't know what to do? Everything around you is falling apart. You know, it may be something work-related, it may be something inside your family, it may be something that is completely out of your control, Brother Clint, and you absolutely don't know what to do. And you've done all that you can physically do. And you think, well, I don't know the outcome of this situation. Now, I really don't know what to do in this situation in my life. But far above that, have you ever been in a place in your spiritual walk with God that you didn't know what He was doing? I've been there. Brother didn't have a clue what God was doing. And I said, Lord, I don't know what you're doing at this point in my life. Have you ever been to that place in your spiritual walk that you absolutely did not know what God was doing? Brother Trey, I walked for a long time wondering, God, what are you doing here? God, I don't understand why you have me in this point in my life where you have me at right now. And so my grandfather and my grandmother for years always told me, if you ever get into a place where you don't really know what to do, just stop and listen for the voice of God. And this morning, with the Lord's help, I want to try to encourage you this morning on what to do when you don't know what to do. What to do when you don't know what to do. And like I say, I've been there a few times in my life. And as Christians, if you're sitting here this morning, a child of God, we have the greatest thing that there is when life is not going our way. And it's prayer. It is a direct communication with the Lord. Now, I guess in a way I kind of want to break down the word pray, because if you don't know what to do when you don't know what to do, the best thing to do is to pray. Now, you can look at the word prayer, and I guess the letter P in prayer, that would be our petition to God. Now, we were sitting there talking just a few minutes this morning before church, And I was kind of aggravating my son because he has kind of expensive taste. And so he likes the things that cost a little more money than I'm willing to spend on. And he's learned as a 16-year-old boy to get those things that daddy's not going to buy for him. He's going to have to go to work and make his own money and spend that money on himself. And not saying that I won't get him things, but his taste is a little above what I like to spend sometimes. And he's figured out, you know, hey, if I go to work, make some money, if daddy gives me a little, I can take more of what I got, put with it, and get exactly what I want. Brother was saying this morning, he said, sometimes I like things down here and sometimes I like things up here. With that one right there, his things are always up here. There's never anything down here that he goes, yeah, I can settle for that because he always wants his stuff up here. And so he comes and makes a petition to me and says, Daddy, this is what I want. This is what I've been looking at. What do you think about this? And my answer, you can ask him as always, you might need to go see if you can find that on sale or my best friend, the Clarence rack. Because I like old Clarence very well. Me and Clarence get along real well. And there's things that he wants that Clarence don't have no part of. And so he comes and makes a petition to me, Daddy, this is what I'm looking at. This is what I want. What do you think? And so we'll sit down and have a discussion about it. And without going into any great detail, there's something he's wanting real bad right now that I don't want him to have. And I'm trying to pray some sense into him that he don't need what he's wanting. But I also understand at one time I was a 16-year-old boy. I know it's kind of hard for y'all to believe that now with all the gray. But at one time I was a 16-year-old boy and there were things I wanted that my parents didn't want me to have. Now, there were some of those things that I wanted, Brother Clint, that my parents didn't want me to have was for the better. And I had to find out the hard way that I should have listened to them to start with.
Amen.
And some of them times wasn't very nice for me to have to figure that out. And I'm praying to God he don't have to walk down that road that his ignorant daddy did. But there's times in our life when we go and make petitions to God. God, this is what's on my heart. This is what I need. I can just about tell you what he wants before he ever comes to. God ain't no different. He already knows. He knows what you want, and he knows what you need before you ever ask for it. Now, there's times in his young life I've told him no because I knew what was best for him. There's petitions you'll go make with God that are important to you, that you feel like you absolutely cannot do without. But God's going to tell you no. And you're not going to understand why he told you no. He didn't understand the first couple of times. He thought the word no was a foreign language. She thinks the word no is a foreign language sometimes. And it's my fault because I've spoiled both of them so much. But there's times when, as a father, that I have to tell him no. Because I know what's best for him. Does it make him angry with me? Absolutely. Does it make him upset with me? Absolutely. But there's been times he's come back and he said, Daddy, I see now why you told me no. There's places I've not let him go. There's people I've not let him hang out with because I knew what was best for him. I knew if he went to those places he shouldn't have been going, he was going to wind up in trouble. I knew if he hung out with those people that he shouldn't have been hanging out with, he was going to wind up in trouble or wind up hurt. So I had to tell him no. Even though he wanted so bad to go or so bad to hang out with who it was he wanted to hang out, I had to tell him no. And there's going to be petitions that you take to God that you feel like in your heart are so important to you, but God's going to tell you no. But it's because he knows what's best for you. Now, had I let him go in some of the places he wanted to go, one of two things would have happened. I'd have been picking him up out of the hospital. I'd have been picking him up out of jail. It's that cut and dry. But because I did not want my son to experience those things, I had to tell him no. There's things I've asked God for that I thought I needed more than anything. And when I asked him, he said no. And I thought, well, he just means not right now. A little while later, I'll go back and make a petition again. Lord, this is what I really want. And he says no.
And I'm like, well, it just means not right now. And I'll go back and ask again, Lord. And he'll tell me, son, this is for the best. You don't need that. And you really don't want that. I don't like telling him no. I'm going to bust the theology that every one of us has heard. I heard it all my life. But because my daddy raised me the way he raised me, it showed me that that was wrong. How many in here has heard you shouldn't be your kid's friend? Every one of us have had. You can't be your kid's friend. Bull malarkey. That's one of the best friends I've got right there. It is. One of the best friends God's ever given me is that little young man right there. I can go talk to him when I can't talk to her. There's things I can go do with him that she ain't even interested in. That's one of the best friends. You can be your kid's best friend. I'm going to blow that theology, Brother Trey, completely out of water this morning. That little youngin you got right there, you can be his best friend. There is a line you've got to establish. Because if you don't establish that line, he's going to take advantage of it. And all you'll ever be is his friend, you won't be his daddy. That young man right there knows where that line's at. He also knows what that right there is. Just ask him. He knows what that right there is because I established that line. God's no different with us. He establishes a line. He's our Savior, but he's also our Father. And there's a line he'll let us get to. And if we cross that line, Brother Clint, there's repercussions coming for it. Now, my daddy is about 6'1", and on a good day weighs 185 pounds with his boots on and his clothes soaking wet. But that man could whoop you like a 300-pound linebacker for the Green Bay Packers. I did not like getting whooped by my daddy. But, brother, there was times I crossed the line that I knew where that line was at, and I crossed it anyway. And my daddy had to discipline me, and I didn't like it. And I used to wonder, he'd say, son, this hurts me worse than it hurts you. I thought, they ain't no cotton-picking way this hurts you this bad. But then the first time I had to spank him, I knew exactly what he was talking about. God's no different with us. God does not want to punish us in any way, shape, form, or fashion. But if we get out of line, that's what's going to happen. We take our petitions to him. That word there in verse 18, it says prayer and supplications. If you do a deep study on that word supplication, that's something near and dear to your heart. If she was laid up in the hospital with cancer, dying, you'd spend every last waking minute on your knees begging God to touch her body. How do I know? Went through it with my mom. Spent every waking hour I had begging God to touch her body. That word supplication is something near and dear to your heart. When's the last time we made a petition to God of something near and dear up to our heart that was near and dear to his heart? When's the last time we prayed for that lost spouse or that lost child or that lost family member or that lost co-worker or that lost... I'm selfish when it comes to prayer sometimes because I'll pray for what I want, what I need, without necessarily praying about their wants or their needs, or the wants and needs of the church, or the wants and needs of the lost. The reason there's empty chairs in here this morning and they're not full is because God's people lost that supplication for a lost and dying world. And if we're ever going to see it full again, we've got to get serious with God about the work of God. I'll hasten on. Now, you don't have to turn there. I'll continue to read the scripture, but you're more than welcome. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Now, preacher, what does that mean? I don't think that literally means to stay in prayer all of your life. But it means to stay in a mind frame to where you can pray. Now, Each one of us probably has different times that we pray. I like to start my morning that way. I start my morning in prayer, in my Bible, before I ever start my day. And if I don't start my day that way, my day's usually fouled up if I don't start my day that way. But if you don't, let me challenge you this morning. If you don't have a allotted time that you get alone with God every day, start one and start it today. If you never had communication with her, or if you only communicated with her when you wanted to, how long you think that's going to last? Not very long. If I only had communication with him when I wanted something from him, our relationship was going to be very strained. Why do we treat God any different? Why do we treat God? Why the only time we go to God is when we need something? Prayer is not about us just talking to God. Prayer is also a time for God to talk to us. Prayer is a time. Some of the probably holiest, most wonderful times in my life that I've ever had is when I get down and pray and I don't ask God for a single thing. And I just say, Lord, I'm just here to thank you. Lord, I'm just here to... And hey, I'll get to thanking him for little things. I'll get to thanking him for the floor in the house, the covers on the bed, the food in the pantry.
And I've learned when I don't go just asking,
God will talk. When I go thanking him, he'll start talking. Or if I've got something really concerning on my heart, and I go to him and I say, Lord, I'm in a place where I literally don't know what to do. And I need your help. And he'll go to talking.
Prayer is also another way outside of your Bible to receive instruction from God.
That's what the R in prayer would be, receiving instruction. Now, I'm a decent cook, but there's things I don't know how to cook. And back when my mother and grandmother were still alive, I'd call and say, hey, how are you supposed to cook this? And they'd give me instruction on how to do it. I made a dish one time I thought I knew how to make. I whooped that thing up and it was smelling right, looked right, but boy, it didn't taste right. I called my mom and I said, I messed up. I said, I made this and this is what I done. And she said, you didn't put this in it? I said, well, Lord, no, why would you put that in? She said, that's what creates the flavor. Oh, well, the next time I made it the way she told me to make it. And it turned out right. I had to receive a little instruction on what I was doing wrong. Your prayer life, you can receive instructions on how to live and how to walk closer every day with God. One of the hardest things for me to do early in my ministry,
and I know y'all going to find this hard to believe because I talk now. Ask either one of them two. I talk now and don't ever shut up.
Quit shaking your head and smiling at each other. I see that. It was hard for me to go talk to somebody. Be at the gas station, grocery store, whatever. Lord would say, go tell them about it. Lord, I don't know about that. I don't know what to say. You better go tell them. Lord, I don't know what to tell them. Just go tell them God's good. And I'd walk over, hey, God's good. Boy, go running back to where I was at. And they'd look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Well, what's wrong with this guy? And so I had to pray, Lord, help me to be better at witnessing. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. When's the last time you walked up and just told somebody about God? Ouch. When's the last time God told you to go tell somebody about God and you didn't do it? Ouch. receive instructions through your prayer life. Pray without ceasing. It means to be in a mind state or a place in your heart where... How many of us is guilty of this? Somebody will come up to you, "Brother Clint, my sciatica is acting real bad this morning. Will you pray for me?" "Brother, I'll pray for you." And we never say a prayer for him. Guilty as charged. "Brother Kevin, I'm just in a bad spot, and you know, I need some prayer right now." "Brother, I'll pray for you, absolutely. I pray for you every day." That was my line. I'll pray for you every day. Might remember it, might not. But if you stay in a mind frame of always being able to pray. Sister, if you was to walk up to me now and say, "Brother, I need you to pray. I've got this going on in my life." I'm in a mind frame. I can pray for you right now. I ain't got to go get nothing. "Lord, I need you to forgive me for this, and this, because I got to pray for this sister." Staying in a mind frame of prayer where you can always have that open communication immediately with the Lord. Immediate conversations. This thing right here, I can't stand to hear it ring. I can't. I'm that person. If you want to talk to me, send me a text. Because I'd rather talk to you through text than I would on the phone. I'll throw her in the bus. She's that way too. Sometimes I'll call her and she'll say, Couldn't you just text me that? But it's an instant conversation. Being able to instantly talk to somebody. Why are we not staying in a mind frame and having our heart in a way that we can instantly talk to God? What greater conversation will you have than with the Father? That's how you'll figure out what to do when you don't know what to do. Staying in a mind frame of prayer. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." Without wrath and doubt. There's conversations that you've had with people's had with you. And you think, "There ain't no way that's true. They're so full of mud, their eyes is turning brown." That's what you think. But there ain't ever been a conversation I've had with him that I've had to doubt. When you pray, you get the attention of God. For all you note takers, that's the A, the attention. If I want to get his attention. Now, it's funny. Last night, and I'm going to tell this, and you whoop me after church, because that boy right there is big enough to whoop me now. I used to wrestle with him up to about a year and a half ago, and he's 6 foot and strong as that wall back there. Last night, we'd already kind of laid down. He's in the bedroom, and he hollers, "Dad!" I said, "What?" He said, "You do me a favor." I said, "What kind of favor?" He said, "It's a big favor." I said, "Well, what do you want, son?" He said, "You go get me one of them peanut butter cream pies and pour me a glass of eggnog and bring it in here in the bedroom." Now, he's 15 steps closer to the kitchen than I am. But he was in the bed and comfortable. And I said, "Yeah, I guess I'll do that." So I got up, got him a little peanut butter cream pie, and poured him some eggnog, and took him there to the bedroom. He got my attention. You want to get the attention of God? Go pray to Him. It's that easy to get God's attention. "Lord, it's me." Brother Clint, you want to know what the greatest thing is? Now, I know I've been picking on him all morning long. He's not a morning person whatsoever. And sometimes I can go in his room once, maybe twice, and he'll get up. Sometimes it's a 30, 45 minute ordeal just to get him out of bed. That's just the way he's built. He ain't built like his daddy. I got an internal alarm clock, goes off 5 o'clock, and I'm awake. That one, it may be 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon if you leave him alone. But I had to go get him up. And there'll be times I'll go in there and say, all right, Will, you need to get up. But I've already been in his room 2, 3, 4, 5 times. And he's like, Daddy, just leave me alone. Ain't been a single time I've ever wanted God. And he said, I ain't got time right now. Ain't never been a single time I've approached the throne of grace. And he just said, you've already prayed 13 times a day. I ain't got time for you. Every time we pray to God, we get the attention of God. What greater thing is there than the attention of God? Hey, I love spending time with her. I love spending time with him. I love spending time with God's people. But there's nothing no greater than that one-on-one intimate time that I get to spend with him. And your life will lack that without a solid prayer life. We're in the Christmas season now, and this will be the 14th one, without my mom. Those first two or three Christmases was real, real rough. It was her favorite time of year. She'd work all year long, saving money, putting money back up. You'd get to Thanksgiving, son. She'd have that many trees in her house. I mean, it was just crazy. She loved Christmas. And the year she passed, I wanted no part of Christmas. I didn't want it. You could be sitting here this morning facing your first holiday without that loved one. Maybe it's the 2nd, 3rd, 30th, whatever. But there's a comfort and a comforter that comes through a prayer life. About 3 years into when she passed, me and Daddy were sitting around right at Thanksgiving. And I told him, and I said, I'm about over his holidays and ain't even got started good yet. And he grinned and he said, yeah, he said, I was there that first year. He said, I done the only thing I knew to do. He said, and I'm fixing to chastise you here a little bit. He said, but I'm doing it to heaven. He said, I was that way the first year. He said, I was. He said, but I started praying for peace. He said, Lord, give me peace about it. He said, I'm okay with celebrating Christmas. He said, you ain't praying for peace. Boy, my daddy said that, and I went, He's right. Brother Trey, I went praying for peace, and God extended that peace unto me. What does the Bible say? You have not because you ask not. Now, I'm not a name it, claim it preacher that's going to tell you, oh, if you go pray for a $80,000 bass boat, there'll be one sitting in your garage. That ain't how God works. The things that we desire that bring Him glory are that are a part of the work of God. If we desire them and we ask God for them, He'll give them to us. I go back to the days when he was young. You couldn't go to the store, he didn't ask for nothing. And we was in a local little store there in town. And now he loves pocket knives. Loves them. And we was in a little store there, and they had the little display set out and had several different pocket knives in it. And he kept walking over there to them. And he'd look. And he'd look to see where I was at. And he'd look back at them knives. He'd look to see where I was at. I knew what he wanted. He wanted one of them pocket knives. And he'd come over and walk, and he'd say, Daddy, you seen them pocket knives yet? And I said, nah, I ain't been over there yet. You need to go look at it before you leave. I said, all right. So we walked down the store there a few more minutes, and I looked around, he wasn't there, and I looked over, and he's looking at them pocket knives again. And I walked by him, and I looked over, and I was like, yeah, there's two or three in there I kind of like. But he didn't say anything about them. We got out in the truck. He was out of a car seat, but in a booster seat, probably 5, 6 years old. And I strapped him in the seat, and he just... I was like, boy, something done got his cornflakes. So we drove on off. We usually cut up a lot driving down the road. Well, he wasn't saying much or anything. I was like, well, we was just about to pull in the driveway. He said, Daddy, why didn't you give me that pocket knife? I said, son, there was 9 pocket knives in that case. Which one did you want? He said, that little blue one. I said, well, you didn't tell me you wanted it. He said, I wanted it, Daddy. I said, son, there's 9, 10, 11 knives in that thing. I said, I didn't know which one. I said, yes, I knew you wanted one, but you didn't tell me which one you wanted. And I said, that's how that works. I said, just because I know you want it, don't mean I'm going to go over and say, all right, son, which one you want? I said, you got to tell me what you want. Got it. He knows what we want. Lord, I want to be a better witness for you. Lord, I want to be more faithful to my Bible. Lord, I want to be more faithful to church. Lord, I want to be more faithful to the ministry. So as we pull the truck in the driveway, I mean, we're 8-9 miles from this little store. He said, Daddy, he said, can I have that blue pocket knife? I said, you sure can. And that pouty lip turned into a big old smile. We pulled on up the house and got out. Started in the house and he said, Daddy, when are we going to go back and get that pocket knife? I said, what? I said, it ain't going to be today. I said, but we'll go back and get it. Oh. I made him wait 3, 4, 5 days. Every single day. Daddy, we're going to go get that pocket knife today. Daddy, we're going to get that pocket knife today. We ain't got time today. He missed out for a few days on something he should have asked for when he was there. How guilty are we of missing out on the blessings of God by not asking for something that's near and dear to our heart that He'd give us? I'm guilty of it. Like I say, for years, I didn't want to talk to nobody. Don't make me go talk to nobody at the gas station or the Walmart or Tractor Supply or wherever. But then one day, I was with a friend of mine, and he walked up, witnessed to a man. And I got to watch him lead that man to the Lord in the back left-hand corner of the Tractor Supply. I was like, well, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. And I had to go say, Lord, I want that. I want to do that. I had to get His attention. He already had mine, but I went and got His attention.
James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, that don't say confess your sins to one another. I ain't going to a closet talking to some dude with a robe on backwards telling him what I've done wrong. I've got a direct line to the throne. That don't say for me to come confess my sins to you, confess my faults. And if you go look up those two words, effectual and fervent, those two words are when you get serious about something. Fervent is, the root word of it is fever. You run a fever, you get hot. I remember growing up, like my whole life, grew up on a farm, we'd get cut by barbed wire fence or whatever. And Daddy'd say, now keep an eye on that. He said, if it gets a fever in it, he said, we're gonna have to check it. Get a little cut on your hand, whatever. If we'll get feverish about the work of God, He'll get feverish about doing things for us. If I want something really bad from either one of them, I know exactly what buttons to push. I do. Vice versa, if they want something from me, they know exactly what buttons to push.
God ain't no different. If we'll get fervent and have some effectual prayers to God, you know what we'll see? We'll see some yielding in our life. We'll start yielding more to the voice of God. We'll start yielding more to the work of God. We'll start yielding more to God's people. I'm gonna tell you a funny little story. I was probably 13, 14 years old. Church, home church that I grew up in was having homecoming. And there's probably 75, 80 people there that morning, about 15 or 18 of the ladies had prepared all the food. And so they went over cutting pies and all that stuff and noticed for about probably 8 or 10 years, there was two of the elderly ladies that absolutely just quit talking to each other. Now, sister, I'm talking about these ladies used to ride to church together. If you've seen one, you've seen the other. And they just quit. And one day one of them come to her, and I won't call their names, and she just said, "Sister so-and-so, what you so mad about?" She said, "We used to be close. We used to do all this stuff together. And you ain't talked to me in nearly 10 years. She said, "Back in 1984, when you was cutting that pecan pie, you cut it into too many slices." She said, "You made 10 slices out of it, and I usually don't do but 8. For 10 years, nearly 10 years, they didn't talk to each other over that. And one of the ladies was my Sunday school teacher in my late teen years. And she told this story in our Sunday school that morning. She said, "I wonder how many times I should have done something for God, but because I was too bitter at somebody else, I didn't yield to the voice of God." If y'all come start playing real soft, get a verse of invitation ready this morning.